So here, the top of Chochet Amar Aleph by the Mishnah. Mishnah continues the series of Mishnayot that deal with items that are ma'akev each other, that are necessary partners when it comes to either Karbanot, or here we're going to be talking about the Kilim in the Mikdash, and then we're going to move on to Tefillin and Tzitzit, which will lead us into the main sugyot of Stam, and then Tefillin and Tzitzit, which are all found, or the major sugyot are found here in Minachot. So Shiv'a Knei HaMenorah Ma'akevim Zed Zed. The seven branches of the Menorah are ma'akev one another. The seven cups or receptacles which hold the oil are makvim zed. The two parshiot that are found in the mezuzot are makev achad et sheni, that shema v'haya yom shemoa. Not only that, afilu ktav ot achad makvan. Even one letter is problematic when it comes to the mezuzah. Dalit parshiot shebetfilin makvim zed. The four parshiot of tefillin are ma'akev each other. That's Shema, Vayayim, Shemoa, Hadesh Likol Bechor, and Vaya Kibi Yecho. And again, not only are the four parshiot ma'akvot zu'adzu, afilu k'tav echad ma'akvan. Even one letter, even a problem with one of the letters in there is a problem for the parshiot ha'tefillin. Dalet tzitziot, the four tzitziot on the four corners, ma'akvot zu'adzu, sha'arbatan mitzvacha. Here the Mishnah gives an explanation of why here, because it's a single mitzvah. The four tzitziot, even though they're separate on different corners, they're a single entity, there's a single mitzvah. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Arbatan Arba Mitzvot. According to Rabbi Shmuel, they're independent. Each one is its own mitzvah. So now Gemara asks by each of these, my time. What's the reason that the Shivat Kneya Menorah, the seven branches of the Menorah, are Me'akev Echadashini? Because Havaya Ktiv Behu. You have a Havaya, which is written by them, and we've seen this already a number of times, that the TU or EU, those types of Lishonot, are Lishonot that are Me'akev. And therefore, over here also by the Menorah, the term EU is also going to be Me'akev, because Asit Menorah Zahav Tahor, Miksha Te'aseh HaMenorah, Yerecha V'Kana Givyeha, Kaf Toreh Uferachea, Mimena Iyu. We have Iyu, which is a Lashon of Iku. So now where it says, Tam Rabbanan, Menorah Haita Ba Mina Eshet U'Mina Zahav. The Menorah comes from a single block and from gold. It has to be made out of one piece. We know about the Menorah, it has to be chipped out, it has to be carved out, sculpted from a block of gold, and it has to be made from gold. Asam Min HaGruta Ot, he makes it from gold pieces, psula, then it's no good. Mishar mine matechot, but if you use other metals, kshera, then it's fine. So Mara wants to know, maishna mina gruta ot psula. Why is it by metal pieces that it's psula, meaning that gold pieces are problematic? Dichtiv, because by the menorah it says that it must be miksha, that it has to be a single piece, which we have asit menorah zavdohor miksha te'aseh menorah. So there, miksha is a demand that it be a single piece, and you have in that pasuk as well, EU, which is Havaya. So you have Miksha, and you have the Ikuv found in the Pasuk. Sharmine Matechol Tanami. When it comes to the other metals, say the same thing. That Pasuk also tells you, Vasita Menorat Zahav Tor. Tells you that it must be made of Zahav, and then EU is at the end of the Pasuk. You have Havaya on the word Zahav. Why do we take literally the Miksha must be Me'akev, but we don't take literally the Zahav must be Me'akev? So that's what the Gemara is trying to balance here. How come one of them you're taking literally and one of them you're not taking literally? So So that was what we read before in the beginning of the pasuk here. It says, so that te'aseh, that additional te'aseh comes to be merabot sharmine matechot, to include other metals. When it says, why are you so certain that the inclusionary term te'aseh is come to teach us that you can add additional metals? Let's say that it's taking away from the word miksha, that it doesn't have to be whole, and that you could bring a grutot, you can make it out of pieces of gold. Mar says, lo sakadatcho, you wouldn't have thought that. De amiksha ktiva havaya. So it says, wait a minute, you're not going to think that way, because the miksha has the word havaya written by it. But Mar says, well, te'aseh nami amiksha ktiv. And so the te'aseh is also written on the word miksha. So why don't we say that te'aseh is modifying the word miksha, and it has to be guided by that same miksha that is written there. So Mar says, miksha, miksha the akev. So the Gemara says, okay, miksha, miksha. We have the word miksha appears twice here. It actually appears four times. It appears twice here in Parshat Truma, and then twice in Parshat Balotcha. So here we're talking about the two that are found in Parshat Truma, one of which we've read already. It was Asit Menorat Zahav Tohor Miksha Te'aseh HaMenorah. And then at the end of the Parsha, it says, Kaftorehem Mekonotami Mena Iyu Kula Miksha Achat Zahav Tohor. The word miksha appears twice. And we know anytime by Kodesh, whenever you have a word word or an instruction appear twice. The first one's the mitzvah, meaning lechatchila. The second one is le'akev. The fact that I have the word miksha twice tells me that's le'akev. That miksha is not optional, but rather mandatory. So Gemara says, well, you have the same thing by zahav. The word zahav appears, it actually appears five times, four times in truma and once in balotcha. But the word zahav appears multiple times. So if you're going to say that, let zahav. I mean, in the same sukim, asita menorah zahav tohor, miksha te'aseh, ha-menorah. And then at the end, again, mekafterem, akhara tami, menu yukula, miksha chad zahav tohor. If you have the word zahav, it's repeated twice. So if you want to suggest that the miksha is repeated twice, and therefore it's ma'akev, then zahav, zahav, nami, la'akev. The repetition of the word zahav, shows him ma'akev. Hi, mai. No, you can't do that. Iyamart bishloma minagruta ot psula. If you say that the golden pieces are problematic, mishar minei matechot ksheira, the other metals are okay. Hainu zahav zahav miksha miksha lidrasha. Then I can understand how you can put together the doubling of the zahav and the doubling of the miksha. Ella, but iyamart minagruta ot ksheira. If you want to suggest the other way around, that the golden pieces are okay, mishar minei matechot psula, other metals are problematic. Zahav, zahav, miksha, miksha, my darshbe. What are you going to darshan with those words? So now the Gemara takes for granted, but now we're going to get to the bright, my darsha. What is this drasha that we do with miksha and zahav that make it easy to understand if you exclude grutaot, golden pieces, and you include the other metals? And that is the Tanya. The Pasuk says, Kikar zahav to'or yaseh uta. So here we have the pasuk that it has to be made out of a kikar zahav to'or yaseh uta et kol hakelim ha'ela. That's at the end, towards the end of the parsha there. So now about that kikar zahav to'or, it says ba'a zahav. If the menorah is made out of zahav, ba'a kikar, then the measurement is a kikar. Measurement or the kikar weight that is used is only necessary or only a requirement when it comes to zahav. On the other hand, if you don't use zahav, then you can make it out of any weight that you want. That means both higher or lower. So either one is good, but when it comes to zahav, it must be exactly a kikar. That's the first limud. Ba'azav ba'kikar. Eina ba'azav, eina ba'kikar. It's not made out of gold, but other metals, then it doesn't have to be a weight of a kikar. Now, givyeha, kaftoreha, ufrecheha. So when it comes to those, again, we read the pasuk about these items, which is the first pasuk. Vasita menorat zahav tohor miksha ta'aseh menorah yirechag bekana. Givyeha, kaftoreha, ufrecheha, mimena yiyu. So over there, by those items, givyeha, kaftoreha, ufrecheha, ba. When you have it be gold, ba'ag vi'im kaftorim ufirachim. When it comes to gold, if you make the menorah out of gold, then you have the requirements of givim. Givim are cups. We'll see that they're decorative cups on the menorah. The kaftorim are bowls that are on the menorah. And pirachim actually manifests themselves in two ways. Pirachim are either flowers, literally flowers that are on the menorah, or they are decorative flower inscriptions on the menorah. So those three items are only required if you break it out of gold. Aval ena bazav, if you don't have gold, it's made out of another metal, ena bagvim kaftorim ufrachim. Ve'emanami, why don't we also say, ba'a zahav ba'kanim, that the major part of the menorah are the kanim. So let us suggest here that if you think that everything is guided by the fact that the word zahav here is repeated numerous times, and we mentioned before that it was mentioned five times, so that zahav comes to teach us that zahav is ma'akev when it comes to the kikar. Zahav is ma'akev when it comes to gviyah kaftoreh ufrecheha. So why don't we say the same thing by the kanim? You only need the branches of the menorah if you have gold. Ein ba zahav, ein ba kanim. If you don't have zahav, maybe if you use other metals, you won't need the kanim. You won't need the branches of the menorah. Now what does that mean, that you don't have branches? Rashi claims that it'll be a menorah ktana. That would be a very small menorah. I would call it a lamp, which is what the Gemara is going to say now, which is hahu pamut mikre. That's called a lamp. That's not called a menorah. It's called the lamp because either the branches are very short or they're all on a single trunk of the menorah, and therefore it's not classified as a menorah anymore. The Torah does require it be a menorah and not be a pamot. Not be a small menorah, but a large lamp, or a large menorah, which includes those types of branches in it. So now Gemara says, "Vezeh maaseh ha-menorah miksha zahav." So now we're going to balotcha. So here it's "Zeh maaseh ha-menorah miksha zahav ba'azahav ha-miksha." If it's made out of gold, it must be made out of a single block of gold. Eino ba'azahav doesn't come from gold. Eino ba'miksha, then it doesn't have to be made out of a single block. So now miksha desef on the mayato. I remember we mentioned already that there were five times the word zahav is mentioned. So miksha desef, the second miksha that's mentioned in Parsha Balotcha, the mayato. What's that coming for? The meutei chatzotzrot. That comes to exclude the chatzotzrot. So now that's the brayta that we were looking for, and this is now why we understand. Now we have the word zahav. We have multiple drashot that are involved with the word zahav, and then we have the word miksha, which is repeated. So if I say that miksha is me'akev, that miksha is me'akev in the sense that if I do it out of zahav, I must make a whole block, and it can't be made out of gutaot, then I understand that miksha that is found in Parshat Truma is la'akev. Teaches you it must be a whole block. Then number two is the zahav. The more multiple words of zahav, we have limudim for each one of the words of zahav. If I don't do that, and I go the other way around, that I say that you can make it out of gold pieces, and other metals are restricted, then what do I do with the word zahav in all of these instances of all these drashot that from the word zahav? That won't be applicable if I say that other metals aren't relevant. If other metals aren't relevant, then you don't have to come to teach me that all these dinim only apply to zahav, because it's the only thing you can make the menorah out of. And number two, what do I do with the miksha? I have in Parshat Shuma the word miksha repeated twice. What's the limud I have out of that? So the Gemara concludes it must be that miksha is literal, and that's the akeif, and zahav is not literal, but rather we have drashot from each time the word zahav appears in order to teach us that yes, other metals are okay, but there are unique aspects to zahav. Zahav has a unique standing, that all the special requirements of the menorah only apply to zahav, they don't apply to other metals. Tosfot mentions that Tanya, if you look up top, Kikar Zahav Tahor, it says Chamisha Zahav Ktive. The word zahav is mentioned five times. Dalit b'parashat v'yikhu, four times in Shuma, v'chad b'parashat balotcha. V'hachalo darish elo shlosha. So far we've only dealt with three of them. V'shemach inach trei, what do we do with the other two? So far we used the word zahav three times, we have two left to go. So he says possibly chabugufe, the mitzvah b'zahav, maybe one of them is literally to teach us that zahav is the way we want to do it, the mitzvah l'chatchila. And then shema, well, the other one is for chad l'chlal u'prativ samuch. In the next amud, I don't want to read the Tosfos yet really, but we're going to turn the page. There's a chlal u'prativ samuch that we're going to learn with the word zahav in it, so that's what we're going to use it for. So those five words of zahav, three of them we have in this breita, which are drashot of zahav kikar, zahav about gviya kaftareu for echeha, and zahav miksha. So those are the three times that we use the zahav as a drashot, and then we have one zahav to teach us that's the best way to make the menorah. And the last word, the fifth time the word zahav is mentioned, is for this kol prat that we're going to get to in the second half of the daf.
So if you don't use zahav, you really don't need miksha, it's not like...
Right, not ma'akev, it's not zahav. And when we say miksha, it's modified by the word zahav. That ikuv of zahav, miksha is only under the modification of the word zahav. In terms of miksha, we have four times the word miksha is mentioned. And if you look at the next Tosafot, it explains it. Miksha the seif al mayata. Bahash the trichi kulu. We have four times that the word miksha. Chad b'mitzvah. I wanted to teach you that it's a mitzvah to make it out of miksha, just like it's a mitzvah to make it out of zahav. If we're going to choose what metal and which way to make it, then the best way is to make it out of zahav, that is miksha. Then we need one is chad l'ikuva. That is, the next one is la'akev. Like you're suggesting here, once it's out of zahav, then miksha becomes le'akev. So that's the second time miksha is mentioned. Right? Chad l'ikuva l'psol grutaot. V'chad. Now one comes to teach you ba zahav ba miksha. Now there, ba zahav ba miksha comes to exclude the other metals. When I say that, it's the ikuv, miksha, but then it's modified by the word zahav. So that miksha comes to teach us that only when it's zahav is miksha relevant. When it's not zahav, miksha is not relevant. V'chad mutei chatzotzrot. And the last one is to exclude the chatzotzrot, we're going to get to in 1 second. Now, that was the last thing that we learned in the Braita. So you have five times the word zahav, four times the word miksha, and here Tosfos lays out for us the Braita dealt with three of the words of zahav, and the four times that miksha is mentioned. And again, we'll get to the last zahav in the second half of the daf today. So now the Gemara says, "Detanya, what does it mean over here that the miksha comes in mutei chatzotzrot? Chatzotzrot ayu ba'im mina eshet u'mina keset. That the chatzotzrot have to come as a single block again. They have to be sculpted, carved, chipped out of a single block of silver, and they have to be made out of silver. Asan mina gruta ot ksherim. Here, the miksha that is not ma'akev, meaning that you can make them out of pieces. Mishar mini techot psulim. On the other hand, no other metal is allowed. So the opposite of the menorah, whereby the menorah, the miksha aspect is ma'akev. Again, as long as you're using zahav, the zahav is not the zahav aspect is not ma'akev. Over here, it's the other way around. The kesef is ma'akev. It must be made out of silver, but the miksha aspect is not ma'akev. So ma'ishnah mishnah mini techot psulim. Why is it when it comes to the other matechot, the other metals that they are pasul, dichtiv kesef ve'havaya, because it says one of the requirements of the chatzutzrot are that they are made out of shtei chatzutzrot kesef miksha taseh utam ve'hayu lecha. So you have the word ve'hayu, and you have the word the shtei chatzutzrot kesef miksha taseh. So the word kesef and the word ve'hayu are found in the pasuk. So therefore, that is ma'akev. So obviously, the Gemara's question, just from the pasuk I read you, you know what the next question in the Gemara is. If it says shtei chatzutzrot kesef miksha taseh utam ve'hayu, guess what? The hayu also modifies the word miksha. So why are you going to exclude that? So Zumar says, mina grutaot, nami miksha v'havaya. So that also here, you have miksha and you have havaya. Why isn't that ma'akev? Where it says, mi'et rachmana gabi menorah. That's what that extra word of miksha is by the menorah, that teaches you miksha hi v'lo chatzutzrot. The miksha by the menorah teaches you that only the menorah has the requirement of miksha. The chatzutzrot do not have that requirement. There is one interesting thing about the chatzutzrot that Tosfos mentions about the Rabbeinu Tam. He says about the chatzutzrot, we had the Gemara that we brought from Kinim in Avodah Zarah. And there it says that the animal, while it's alive, makes one sound, and when it's dead, you can make seven sounds out of it. You can make multiple sounds from it. So there the Gemara said, what are one of the sounds? From the karnayim, from the horns, you can make chatzotzrot. Well, if that's true, then the chatzotzrot don't have to be made out of kesef. They don't have to be made out of silver. We said that silver is ma'akev. So how could you claim that the behema, while it's alive, makes one call, and when it's dead, it has shiva, and one of them is karnav lechatzotzrot? Karnav lechatzotzrot means not silver. So Rabbeinu Tam, dako bekodesh, teretz Rabbeinu Tam, the shtei chatzotzrot are you. There are two different types of chatzotzrot in the Mikdash. The kohanim, bishol kesef. The one for the kohanim is made out of silver. Valavim, but the one for the Levim is shol karnei behema leklei shir. Those were instruments. Those were shofarot that were used over the karbanot. Oh, the chatzotzrot, the kinim brazer, I know shofar. And then he says that the word chatzotzrot can be used interchangeably with shofar in some instances. Gives backs out of that a little bit later on, but you have a distinction here. You have the chatzotzrot, which are used with trumpeting of the kohanim, which are mentioned extensively, like in the Mishnayot Sukkah, where the kohanim trumpet when they're going in with the nisuch hamayim. Those are the trumpets. And then you have shofarot, which are used by the levim as part of the klei shir when you're bringing karbanot. So when the Gemara in Avodah Zarah was talking about the karnayim, that was talking about the chatzotzrot of the levim, which means are musical instruments, the shofar. Whereas the chatzotzrot that we're discussing here are the trumpets that are used for the mikra'i da here in the Midbar, which are Moshe's trumpets, and then later on by the Kohanim in the Mikdash. They were blown, the Chatzotzot are blown al kol karbanot. That's found in Parshat Balotcha, that the Chatzotzot are blown on the holidays, on the karbanot, and on the special occasions. Those have to be made out of silver, and those are the Chatzotzot of the Kohanim. So now, Tanu Rabbanan, kol ha-kelim, when it comes to all kelim shasa Moshe, that Moshe made, ksherim lo uksherim ledorot. They can be used by him, and they can be used in the future in the Mishkan and the Mikdash. Chatzotzot, the exception to that is the chatzotzrot, the trumpet, sherot lo upsulot lidorot. There, the chatzotzrot are okay for him, but they are psulot lidorot. So Gemara wants to understand the difference here now between the chatzotzrot and the other kelim. Chatzotzrot, my taima, ilim adamakra, because here it comes up, aseh lecha. That means make for you chatzotzrot. So lecha, v'lo lidorot. It'll only be for you and not for the generations. El miato. Now we're going to run into a big problem, which is, v'asita lecha aronet. You should make for yourself. Over there, the singular is also used, and lecha is used by the aron. Now we're going to suggest that the aron is only good for Moshe. Hachanami de lecha v'lo lidorot. So that is unacceptable. Ela, I, leman damar lecha, mishelcha. The word lecha either comes to teach you mishelcha, it has to come out of your own pocket. This is a personal expense. This is can't be charged to the coffers of the tzibur. Moshe, you got to pay for it. That's one possibility of explaining the word lecha. Or, I, leman damar, could be achol b'shelcha, ani rotze yoter mishelehem. Or the other drasha that is words by lecha means, figuratively, Hashem says, I prefer yours than theirs. It's a compliment to Moshe, and lecha is an indication about Moshe's stature. So Gemara says, "Hai nami mi bailei lohachi." So also over here, just like in Vasita Lecha, that we're going to say by the Aron, you darshan in one of these two ways, so too, over here, we'll use the word Lecha for the same purpose. Where it says, no, Shani Hotam, over there it's different, Amarka Lecha Lecha, it's Rei Zimne. Over here, the Pasuk says Lecha twice. Asay Lecha, Vayu Lecha. Pasuk by Lecha Tzotzrot has two times the word Lecha. One Lecha to teach you these drashot of either it comes out of your own pocket, or it's I like yours better than theirs. And the other Lecha to teach you that it's only good for you. The Chatzotzot are yours and not anybody else. I mean, in your lifetime, after that, they go into Gniza. As opposed to the Aron or other places that have the word Lecha, that only appears once. The Lecha appears once, and therefore it will darshan of the one Lecha, either it's got to come out of your own pocket, or I like yours better than theirs. So that's the drasha of the word Lecha. Only once we have the additional Lecha does it teach us that Moshe and no one else can use these Chatzotzrot. Now, the Gemara says, Tani Rav Papa, Breid Rav Chanan, Kamed Rav Yosef. I have a Breita. Menorah, Hita, Ba Min Eshet, U Min Azav. The Menorah must come from gold and a single block. Asashel Kesef, Kshira. Make it out of silver, it's okay. Shall bats, you make it out of tin. Shall aver is lead. Shall gisteron. Gisteron, I have either translated as a cheap metallic alloy or bronze. The two translations I saw of gisteron. Rabbi Posel, with these latter three metals, that's the tin, the lead, and the gisteron, Rabbi Posel says it's no good. Rabbi Yehuda makshir. Rabbi says those are fine. Shall eitz, if it's made out of wood. Shall etzim, out of bone. Shall zchuchit, a glass. Divya kol psula. Everybody agrees there that it's problematic. Samalei, madatech. He says, what do you think about this? So he says, Amalei, benmar, ubenmar. So he responds to him. Rav Papa brought this brayta, responds to him and says, benmar, benmar, klali uprate darshe. Both Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda are using the methodology for drasha of klal uprat. Miu, mar savar maprat mufras shel matechet, af kol shel matechet. One of them believes that the drasha works, metal, and therefore, anything that is metallic works. Umar Sabar, Ma Prat Mifresh Davar Chashuv, Af Kol Davar Chashuv. Then just like the Prat is Davar Chashuv, so too everything has to be Davar Chashuv. The drasha of Klalu Prat Uchlal that we are dashing over here comes from the Pasuk, and this is the last Zahav that Tosus was mentioning before, that comes in this Klalu Prat Uchlal, is Vasita Menorat Zahav Tohor, and then Vasita Menorah, that's the Klal, Zahav Tohor, the Prat, and then Miksha Taaseh Menorah, is a klal. So you have a klal prat to klal. The prat is zahav tohor. So that zahav tohor, when we have a prat, a klal prat to klal, well, how do we darshan it? We only darshan that it comes to include ke'ina prat, something that is similar to the prat. What are the features of this prat that we're trying to simulate? Rabbi believes that the things that we're trying to simulate over here are zahav tohor, which means davar chashuv. Something, a metal, but not just a metal that is significant, that has importance to it, that has value to it. So that would limit you to Zahav and Kesef, gold and silver. Whereas Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda believes that Zahav Zohar just teaches you metal. Any metal will be fine. So therefore anything in that breita that's mentioned that's metallic, he says is kasher. Obviously Eitz, Etzem, and Zchuchit, he says are problematic because they're not metal. They're not Ke'in HaPrat. So that's the way Rabbi Papa explains the breita on the machlok between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yosef responds to him and says, listen, Same didach mikame didi. Erase your breita because I have a different breita that suggests otherwise. Titania, klisharet, shasan shel eitz, Rabbi posel. Klisharet that are made out of wood, Rabbi says are no good. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda makshir. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says that klisharet made out of eitz are no problem. So ma'akam iflege. What's the machloket? What's the nekudat machloket between them? And this we've seen many times. Rabbi darshe klalei uprate. Yosef Rabbi Yehuda darshe ribuye miute. Rabbi is doresh klal uprat. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is darish ribuye miute. So generally, the klal uprat is the realm of Bavel. They usually dash attention that Rabbi here, who's found in Eretz Yisrael, is using it. But he's Doresh Klal Uprat, the principle of Klal Uprat, whereas Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is Doresh, the principles of Drasha that are usually used in Eretz Yisrael, which are Ribuye Umi Ute. What's the difference between them? That's what we're going to see right now. We're only going to do one of them, which is the Klal Uprat to Klal and the Ribuye Miyot to Ribuye, which is Rabbi Doresh Klal Uprat, the Vasita Menorat. That's what we just read before Klal. Zab Tor Prat. Mikshat Aseh Menorah Chazaru Klal. Klal Uprat to Klal. Yadan Kanela Prat. Ma Prat. right mefurashim matechet, af kosher matechet. So here, Rabbi is darshing like the suggestion of a papa in Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda in the previous braita. That's what Rabbi Yosef says is going on in this braita. That Rabbi believes that any metal is fine. As long as it's metallic, that's good for a kli sharet. Yeah, metal, you're good to go. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda darish ribuye mu'ite. So if Rabbi's darshing klal upratu klal, what's the drasha of klal upratu klal means? Klal upratu klal, iyata dan elokein ha prat. Something that's doma to the prat. Anything that has that similarity to the prat is included. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda darish ribuye mu'ite. How does that work? Vasita minarat riba. Zav dor mi'et. Miksha ta'ase ha-minorah chazav riba. Riba u'mi'et v'riba riba kol. In the principles of riba mi'ut, riba, when you have that means everything's included. Then what does the mi'ut do? The mi'ut excludes one item. One thing that it excludes. My Rabbi. Rabbi, kol mi'le, it includes everything. My mi'et, what's the one item that it excluded? Mi'et shel cheres. It leaves out cheres. Why does it leave out cheres? So as Rashi says, shu pachot mikol ha-kelim. It's on the rung of utensils, it's the bottom. It's the bottom of the rung. That's exactly what I was just about to say. It's the same thing as chad pami today. One-time usage. And that's what kli cheres was viewed. They used to use kli cheres. They break it. That's why you find all the shards all over the place, especially with kochim, where the requirement not to reuse them. But they were the equivalent of what we use plastic today for. And therefore, since it's the bottom of the rung, you can't use it for the kli sharet from this libut of riba miut riba. But it'll turn out that both Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi agree that as long as it's not kli cheres and not eitz, then everybody agrees you can do it, no matter what it is, as long as it's not eitz or kli cheres. Now, Rabbi will say that eitz doesn't work, or anything that's not metal will not work. But Rabbi Yosef Yehuda will include anything that's not metal as long as it's not kli cheres. So now, Rabbi Papa says back to Madhura, but somebody dach me come didi. What do you think your bright is better than my bright? Why don't you erase your bright and we'll keep my bright? Rabbi Papa is saying to Rabbi Yosef, I see that your bright is different. It's obviously that the two can't agree. But why do you think your bright is right and mine is wrong? So he says, lo saka d'atko. Rabbi Yosef says, that's not, you can't think that way. D'tanya. I have two bright totes, we're going to see in a second, that support that my bright is right. Ein lo zahav, mevi af shel kesef. Then he can bring silver. Shel nechoshet, v'shel barzel, v'shel bedil, v'shel ofaret. If he doesn't have it made out of gold, he can bring silver, copper, iron, and bedil is tin, v'shel ofaret, and lead. So you can use any one of these metals. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, makshir af v'shel eitz. So you have the explicit inclusion of eitz by Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. In the first bright that we brought, eitz was excluded even according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore he says, this bright, that now I have a second bright that shows that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda believes that wood is okay. So my bright that says wood is okay, the second bright that says wood is okay. V'tani idach. And now we have the third bright. Lo yaseh adam bayit tavnit eichal. This is something we saw in Avodah Zarah. The person should not make a replica. His house should not be a replica of the heichal. I mean the dimensions of the heichal. You shouldn't build a house that looks like the heichal. Achsadra keneged ulam. You shouldn't make a portico that is like the ulam. And what's interesting here is that an achsadra, the definition of an achsadra in the Gemara is that it's enclosed from three sides and the fourth side is open. I mean it only has three walls and the fourth side is open. On the other hand, the ulam, we know, had walls on all four sides. So Tosfos over here says, you know what? The ulam really only had three walls because the door to the ulam was so big. It was 20 amot wide, 40 amot high. It was a massive door. And since the door was so big that it was classified as if there was no wall on that side, even though the length of that wall was 100 amot, it was a massive wall, that side, because the ulam is 100 amot wide, and the door only takes up 20 amot of that. Nevertheless, since it's so open and wide, it's considered as if it only has three walls. And that's why the Gemara compared the achsadra to the ulam. Right, it is. Modern Tanamos is a pirza, but it's still, you still have, I'm telling you, if you take 100 minus 20, you still have 80 amot of wall on that side. So a large piece of work. It won't have a classification of the peftach, so that whole side, each wall will be viewed independently, not as a single entity, as a wall. That's what you're saying. Which is right. By the way, that's where all this comes from. It comes from Hilchos Eruvin. Chatzer keneged azara. You shouldn't make your courtyard like the azara. Shukhan keneged shukhan. Don't make your table like the table in the mikdash. Menorah keneged menorah. You shouldn't have a menorah like that. Aval. So this is what you see. By the way, when they take you up north, especially, whenever you see inscriptions or paintings of the menorah, this breita is the source for what you see up there, and that is, you should not make menorah keneged menorah, you shouldn't make a seven-branch candelabra. You can use 5, 6, just don't make it out of seven branches. Ve'afilu shara minei metechot. Even if you make it out of other metals, don't make it out of seven branches. Why? Because other metals are kasher when it comes to the menorah. So making it out of another metal besides zahav doesn't solve your problem. You're still replicating what could have been in the mikdash. Yosi ber Yehuda omer, af shel etz lo yaseh, kederach shasu malchei beit chasmonai. So Rabbi Yosi ber Yehuda again explicitly says, etz is good for the menorah. Don't make the menorah out of eitz, because that's what the Chashmonaim did when they came back in after they cleared out the Greeks from the Mikdash, and they were retired the Mikdash. The first menorah they put into place was made out of wood. So Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says, don't make your menorah, seven branch candelabra, out of wood, because that's also a replica of what was used in the Mikdash. So now you have three brightot, the brightot that Rabbi Yosi brought, plus an additional two brightot that say, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda believes that eitz is good. The only brayta that says that Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda believes that eitz is no good is the one that Rav Papa brought. And therefore Rabbi Yosef says, erase your brayta and take my brayta. Your brayta is the odd man out. Your brayta is the oddball. So definitely erase your brayta, it's wrong. Whatever you have is wrong. The brayta really should be like I have and the other two brayta that support me.
Why would we say that the Beit Chashmonai actually made a menorah out of wood? Is that enough of a proof? The fact that they actually did it.
So the Gemara is going to ask you a question. Amru lo misham raya. Why is it a proof that the Chashmonaim used wood? Shipudim mishel barzel hayu. No, they were really stakes of iron, of metal, and they covered them with tin. Hishiru, they got rich. Asum shel kesef. Then they made it into silver. Chazuv hishiru, they got wealthier. Asum shel zahav. So one of two answers is either it was never made out of wood, which is what the suggestion of those that argue in Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is, or like you're suggesting, it was a orat shah, meaning that they couldn't afford anything. So they were upgrading over time. They were upgrading. Although the suggestion, obviously, is if they made it out of wood, that would be sufficient to use. It would have to be kosher as a kli sharet, otherwise they couldn't have done anything. But nevertheless, maybe you would argue that eitz is a last resort. It's something that you wouldn't use on a regular basis. This was an unusual occurrence that it happened. Although they argue, and I mean this way, that it was shipudim shel barzel ayu v'chipum bebat. Tosfos asks, why do they call them shipudim? Why do they call it shipudim? We know what the menorah looks like. Menorah doesn't have straight arms on it, meaning that they are covered in the gvi'im, the kaftorim, and the prachea. What's the answer? What we learned on the first amud. Gvi'im, kaftorim, and prachea are only necessary when it's zahav. When it's not zahav, they are not necessary. So therefore, over here also, the reason they call them shipudim, which you wouldn't call them when they were zahav, is because that's all they are. They're basically straight arms, or straight pieces of metal. Alright, now, the Gemara is going to go on to explain the menorah, and the way the menorah looked. Now, it's going to give us counts of each item on the menorah, so I'll do that with you. There's a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam, exactly how the menorah appeared. Here I have one picture of the menorah for you, but the same would be true when it comes to the menorah of Rashi as well, which is whether the arms of the menorah are curved or straight. And that's one machloket. The other has to do with the base itself. How does the base, is the base circular or triangular, squared out in nature? So that's some of the questions that come up. There are other machlokot, but the difference definitely in the arms, whether they're straight up or they are circular in nature, you can see it actually. I think they have a picture in the back here. If you go in the Perush Mishnayot of the Rambam, here's the picture of the Rambams. The Rambams is the circular one and Rashi's is the straight armed. For what we're going to do now, it won't make a difference, but just so you're aware of the fact that there is such a difference, both about the base and the top. What we're going to do now is we're going to count the components of the menorah as well as the size of the menorah, and those won't make a difference over here in terms of which way it looks. All right, so we'll use the picture just as a way to see what they're talking about. What it says here, Amar Shmuel, Mishmei de Sabo. Shmuel said in the name of Sabo, now Sabo, as Rashi says, Zokin Echad, some old guy. Govha, Shom menorah. The height of the menorah, 18 tefachim. That was 18 tefachim high was the menorah. How does that work? Haraglayim v'haperach. The feet of the menorah, the base of the menorah, and the perach, the first flower. Now this flower over here is, the way it's pictured in the one that I have here, is actually a flower. There are others that believe, like Rashi, that it's a design on the center post of the menorah. It's a design of flowers. It's not actually a flower here. So that's a difference in opinion about exactly what this perach is at the bottom. The raglayim and the perach over here, that is three tefachim. So from the floor of the base of the menorah up to this first perach, they cover three tefachim. Utfachayim chalak. Then you have empty space of two tefach. You have a blank space here in the menorah of two tefach. And then, the tefach shebo gviyah v'kach. kaftor uperach. And then you have a single tefach, which has all three of these items, which is a kaftor. Remember, is again a circle, a globe, like object that sits in the pole. And then you have a perach, a flower that comes out of this, as well as a gviya, a cup that comes out. Utfachayim chalak. Then you have another two tefach that are blank, that have nothing in them, meaning that they're the center post. Vit tefach. Now you're going to have the base of the center of the menorah. Remember that each of the branches of the menorah comes out of a kaftor. So over here it says, you'll have a kaftor, which is a tefach, and then you'll have a tefach kaftor, ushnei kanim yotzim mimenu, and the two kanim, two of the branches come out of that. Then, echad elach vechad elach, each one going in a direction. Vidim shachim olim keneged gufha shel menorah. And they extend until they reach the height of the menorah, meaning that that's why they're all on the same level. Again, either they come out as a curve or a straight line, either way they reach the point where they are level with the center post. V'tefach halak, then you're going to have a tefach that is blank again. V'tefach kaftor. And again, another kaftor. V'shnei kanim yotzim mimeno. Echad v'elech v'echad v'elech. V'shachi v'olim keneged gova shel menorah. That extend out of that kaftor up to the top. Then you'll have again v'tefach halak, another blank tefach. V'tefach kaftor. And then the third kaftor. V'shnei kanim yotzim mimeno. Echad v'elech v'echad v'elech. V'shachi v'olim keneged gova shel menorah. Again, the same thing. Then you have tefachayim, two tefach that are blank. We're now above at the top part of the centerpiece. So now you have to tefachim chalak. Nishtairu sham gimel tefachim. From there, that's 15. What we've done so far is 15. You have the three, which are the base. The two that are blank, which is 5. The one that has the kaftor, perach, and the gviyah, which gets you up to 6. Two blank is 8. Then the kaftor blank, kaftor blank, kaftor, those add up to another 5. So in 8 plus the 5 we just did now give you 13. Plus the two at the top that are blank is 15. Now Shmuel said it's 18. So you have 3 tefachim left from the 15 that we counted. What's in those 3 tefachim? Shehem gimel gvi'im, 3 cups, 3 goblets really, that's what it is. V'kaftor, and then a circle, and a perach. So that's what the top is. You have 3 cups, the kaftor, and then the perach. And on top of that sits the ner, or in that sits the ner. Now why is it that the kaftor, perach, and the gvi'im of the center post are different than the ones on top? Because we see that when you look at the picture of the menorah, when the ones on the branches on the top, each one's allocated a space. Yet the one on the pedestal, we say the kaftor, the perach, and the gviyah all are extending out of the pedestal. So Tosfos asks that question. He says, I don't understand the distinction. The breita here, or that which Shmuel brings down, allocates a tefach. When you're talking about the branches, it allocates a full tefach to every gviyah, every perach, and every kaftor. Yet when it comes to the one on the pedestal itself, there, or on the main center branch, it allocates one tefach for all three items. For the perach, the gviyah, and the kaftor. And that's why it forces that picture to be that the perach and the gviyah are extending out of the center branch, and not on the center branch itself. Although again, Tosfos leaves as a tema of why there is such a distinction. But we do note the distinction because of the allocation of space between them. So now, gvi'im, v'mahim do'im. What are these gvi'im? Gvi'im are domot kemin kosot alexandrium. They are these narrow goblets that come out of Alexandria of Mitzrayim. Kaftorim, v'mahim do'im. These kaftorim are like what? Kemin tapuchei akartiim. Like the apples from Karti. So, I don't know if that's from Crete, but the apples that come from Kartim, the Ein Mishpat over here, it says, Pesh Rachvan Yoter Al Avyan, that their width is more than their depth. They were not exactly circular in nature. They were oblong in the, of sorts. Oblong, that's what seems to be described over here. Prachim Lamahim Domim. So with the Prachim, what are they like? Ki Pracheya Amudim. Like the Prachim of the Amudim. What are the Prachim of Amudim? Those are like the menorot that are made in front of the kings, that they inscribe flowers on them. So that's, again, we just discussed that the flowers here, we see over here, all the pictures have real flowers coming out of them. So that's discussed over here. So Rashi explained before that the perach was the inscriptions on the menorah. One of the prachim is an inscription on the menorah, whereas the other prachim are literally flowers that are on the menorah. Yeah, here in the Rashi over here, if you look, haraglaim va'perach. Rashi says haraglaim va'perach mitachat shloshat tefachim perach tziurim shechokakim atzurfim zahab ba'omek b'menorah tumkelim. These are inscriptions carved into the menorah of flowers. So again, before we discussed before that the bottom flower, the base flower over here, wasn't, according to all opinions, wasn't necessarily a flower. Some people say it was an inscription. Some say that it was literally a flower. Here you see Rashi saying that it is, Prachei Amudim means inscriptions on the pedestal and on the trunk of the menorah, whereas the other prachim that are above are literally flowers that are found on the menorah. Right now, the Gemara is going to go through a count of how many of each item that we had. Nimtzu, you find from this, so the conclusion of this is Gvi'im Esrim V'Shtayim. There are 22 goblets on the menorah. Kaftorim, balls, globes, are 11. Pirachim, flowers, are 9. Gvi'im Akvim Tzeze, Kaftorim Akvim Tzeze, Prachim Akvim Tzeze, Gvi'im Kaftorim Uprachim, Makvim Tzeze. Everything is Me'akev. Tosfos asks, why don't we put that in the Mishnah? The Mishnah tells us everything that's Me'akev. It only mentions Shiva Kenei HaMenorah. Where are the other things? Temo, Dolo Choshiv, Gvi'im, Prachim, Kaftorim. Prachim Tzeze, Kedamrim, Gemara. What's the answer again? Very good. It's only by gold. By other metals, it doesn't apply. So that's why the Mishnah doesn't mention it. Because it's only true that they're Me'akev when you're using gold. If you don't use gold, they're not Me'akev. So that's why it's left out of the Mishnah. Right now, let's go through the count, which is Bishlama Gvi'im Esrim Ushnaim. I can figure out how you get to the 22 Gvi'im goblets over here, the Chtiv. It says, Ube Menorah. The Menorah does not refer to the candelabra as a whole, but rather Menorah is the center piece of the Menorah. Arba'a Gvi'im. There are 4 Gvi'im in the centerpiece of the Menorah, 3 at the top, like all the other branches, and then you have one in the center post that we mentioned before that is in the middle with the kaftor and the perach. So that we understand how we got to the 22 now, because you have menorah arba gvim uchtiv shlosha gvim shukadim bekaneh achad kaftor baferach, and then there are 3 gvim on every branch. There are 3 gvim. So if I take the 6 branches times 3, I get 18, and then I have the center branch that has 4. So the 18 plus 4 gets you to 22. 3 of those are similar to the branches at the top. The additional gvia is down in the pedestal in the center post that is there. So that gives you the 22 branches, right? You have 7 times 3 is 21, plus the 1 in the center is the 22. Now, kaftur arba adida v'tamnei sari dekanim. You have the 4 of the center post plus the 18 that apply to the branches. Asrim v'tarti. So that's how we get to 22. Kaftorim nami. When it comes to the kaftorim, the globes, the balls, achadasar, we can figure that out. Why kaftorim? When it comes to treidida, you have 2 of the center post v'shisha dekanim and the 6 of the kanim, which is the 2 of the center post plus the 6 of the kanim. Kaftor v'kaftor v'kaftor. And then the 3 that have the branches coming out of them. So we know that each branch has a kaftor, which we just read before. Shlosha gvim mishukadim mekaneh achad kaftor baferach. Each kaneh, each branch has a kaftor. So that's the 6 branches have a kaftor on top. Then the center branch has 2 kaftorim, one in the same location at the top, like the other branches. One in the on the pedestal itself, which we said before, there's a in that point there is a kaftor baferach and gvia. And then the 3 additional kaftorim that have the branches extending from them. So if I do that, I end up with the 6 that belong to the branches. I have the 3 which have the branches extending out of them is 9, plus the additional 2 of the center branch, the one at the top and the one in the pedestal, that gives you 11. So that's how we get to the 11 kaftorim. Kaftor v'kaftor, ha-chadzar. We get to the 11. Ella, prachim, tisha minolon. How do you end up with 9 flowers here? So, prachim, treidida. When it comes to the flowers, you have 2 that belong to the center post, which is the flower at the top, which and the flower in the center of the pedestal. So that's 2. Then you have the 6 kaneh, which we read again here, which is Shoshag Vim Shukadim Kaneh Achel Kaftor Baferach. Each kaneh has a perach at the top. Each one of the branches has a perach at the top. So if I do that, I have 6 for the branches, 2 on the center, 1 at the top like the other branches, and 1 at the pedestal. That gives me 6 plus 2 is 8. I'm missing 1 perach. Where do you get the 9th perach from? Now we know that the 9th perach is all the way down at the bottom. But where does the Gemara get that from? Where does Shmuel get that from? So that's what Gemara does now. Shredi Dab Shishad Kaneh Tam Yahab Amar Salman. Tif, it says in Balotcha Adirecha Ad Pircha Mikshohi. It says Adirecha Ad Pircha. Adirecha Ad Pircha means from top to bottom. What's Pircha? Pircha is the bottom. That means there's another perach at the bottom, Mikshahi. So that's the Pirchahi, and that's how you get to the 9 flowers. You have the 8 that are mentioned in Truma, and the 9th one, which is mentioned in Parshat Balotcha. That additional flower is this flower that we had at the base of the menorah, and again, whether that's actually a flower or tziurim of the flowers, that's subject to a machloket rishonim.